Thanks for being a part of an amazing God moment morning this morning for lots of God moments and God doing God things. I know I say that all the time, but it's true all the time. Amen? And my father-in-law is a piece of work. He's an amazing man of God and has mentored me. And like Stephen says, a spiritual father, he has been that for me as well. And Jim does some preaching in some other churches, and he was sharing this message of hope with me. And I said, man, we need that. We need to hear that. And I said, why don't you pray and see if you consider sharing that here? He's like, yeah, I'll do that. And so we both felt like this was a message that we needed to grab a hold of. And so I asked Jim to come and share his message of hope today. So give Jim a big round of applause.
It's amazing how God works and orchestrates things that on this particular Sunday that I'm lined up to preach, God already shows up and he did what God does if we just take time and listen and allow him in. And that fills us with hope. Yes. And there's an interesting thing about hope, kind of a word that goes along with it and sometimes gets confused with hope is wishful thinking. So an example of wishful thinking, Trent is supposed to be my helper. So when I go, Trent? All right. So you'll hear that a few times, and then by time the sermon's over, I might remember his name when I see him next time. So wishful thinking is essentially believing for a desired outcome without strong evidence to support it. It's based on desire, not reality. It can be misleading because it leads to unrealistic expectations and disappointments when things don't turn out. Trent, examples of believing you'll win the lottery even though the chances are extremely low. The student believing they'll pass a test without studying because they have a good feeling about it. Wow, I was guilty of that a couple times. And the wishful thinking didn't help. A person assuming their partner will change a major negative behavior without any discussion or commitment to do so. I had a wishful thinking happen yesterday. I haven't golfed since probably 2016 or 17. First I was busy, and then I tore some stuff in my shoulder, and I had other things I'd kind of rather do, but my son talked me into entering a charity golf tournament here at Sisseton yesterday. And my wishful thinking was that, oh, I'll be able to contribute. Well, that was wishful thinking. There wasn't much that I contributed. The second to last hole, I had a really long putt that got me a lot of fist bumps. That's after 16 other holes where there were a lot of cringes and other things. I had the hope then that my son and grandson, because they're good golfers, would drag the old fella right into the winner's circle. Well, we didn't win, but we did golf 3 under. But that was wishful thinking. Trent, thank you. Does that work too if I just turn to it like that? Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. To trust in, to wait for, to look for, or to desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. I'm wondering, did anybody come with hope this morning, hoping that God was going to do something for you? Because he did. Was it just wishful thinking? Or was it hope because we know who our hope is in? Amen. Wow. So we're going to share a lot of verses today. And because we're running late, if you have something at noon or thereabouts and you need to go, I mean, I'm not going to run on and on and on and on. But, you know, if you need to just get up and slip out and yell an amen as you're going out the door. That's okay. We understand. We get it. So we're going to build a case of hope and get to the place. And the reason that I have a handout is when we're all here today, after what we've experienced, we're going to go out of here. We're going to be full of hope. Boy, I mean, God's in the house, and we saw people's needs being met. And then Wednesday, something happens, and you go, oh, boy, could I use some hope today? What were those verses again? Oh, they're in your Bible or on the fridge if you took them, right? So that was my thought on that. Okay. The first couple of verses are ones that we hear and know quite well, but we'll start there. Sometimes, and I actually, this has been my prayer for this morning, when there's verses that we hear and that we know and that are in the Psalms and that Paul wrote about, we say, boy, you know, that's good stuff. But do we really believe it? And the only way the really believe it part happens is if the Holy Spirit brings it alive and makes it real for us. Curtis, a really good place to say amen. Thank you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Trent. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord. Go ahead, Trent. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. These are plans that the Lord has already laid out. They're already there. Psalm 147. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. There it is again. Our hope is in him and on his unfailing love. There's no way to get away from it, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Psalm 62. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he's my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress, and I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He's the mighty rock. He's my refuge. Trust in him at when? All times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Twice in there, he uses the word refuge. He's a safe place to go to, a safe place to run to. Always, always, always there. Refuges don't move. When they're there and they're set, there they are. God is there. He's set to love, to put our faith and our hope and our trust in, because he is our refuge. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. The next one, thank you. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. This verse, to me, is a key that if we could memorize this and know this in our heart and store it there, will carry us through unbelievable stresses and pressures. May the God of hope, that's the supreme overall arching, there is no other. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust. You got to trust in him so that you may have just barely enough hope. May overflow, that's it, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it is. The Holy Spirit has to bring it alive to us. We can read, we can have our daily devotions day in and day out and read and close the book and check it off. But did we say, Holy Spirit, speak it, bring it into my life. May it become a part of me. May I be changed into your image as we're supposed to be. Amen. Trent, I had Marnie put this together for me. God is in the center, and earlier we were talking about what the Father does and what Jesus does and how the Holy Spirit's been sent here to help and guide us. But there is no way in relating or thinking about God or understanding him, as Kirk talks about it, that love and trust and faith and hope are so intertwined, you really can't have one without the other. Because it's God's overarching love that brings all these other pieces into play. Because of his great love for us, we can trust him. Because of his great love for us, we have faith in him. Because of his great love and trust and his word, we have hope for the future. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We kind of switch gears here a little bit. Now there's some, Kirk was talking about, there's some stuff we have to go through. But the more things that you go through, and the more that you see God's hand at work and you come out the other end of them, the greater your trust is and the greater your hope in God's eternal plan for us. So I'm going to go back to 15:13 because to me, we just got to get this one. Holy Spirit, burn it into our hearts. May the God of hope, the God of hope, fill each and every one of you with joy and peace, Lord, as we trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let's do it again and read it together, but say, may the God of hope fill me. Okay? May the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace as I trust in you, so that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take it for yourself. Make it personal. There's a couple verses in Romans that I didn't get up on the PowerPoint when Marnie and I were working on it, that make verses 3 and 5 make more sense. And this is talking about how God so longs for us to get it. To get it. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of his glory. And then not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Oh, here we go again. A little suffering going to happen. Because we know that the suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he's given to us. Each and every one who call on his name and take him, say, yeah, Lord, I lay my life down. come in and fill me with you and with your life. It talks about the things that we go through and the things that we suffer, how the perseverance brings character and character hope. Back in 1990, we moved to Texas to work for a ministry that needed some management and some control and some budgets and things to kind of right the lilting ship to sail ahead. And it was before cell phones. And so Kathy and I and the kids moved down there. And we put together some budgets and had long talks. And yep, this is how we need to go and what we need to do. And then they would go out. They're called the power team. They'd hold these big crusades. They'd fill these auditoriums like McNichols Arena held 19,000 and some people. They filled it three nights in a row. They'd do all these power feats. They'd break handcuffs and baseball bats and roll up frying pans and tear phone books and break huge blocks of ice, and the kids would yell and wahoo and all that. But then they'd buy the broken bats and the T-shirts. Well, if you spend $100,000 on TV advertising for 3 days, plus the auditorium, plus flying all these guys out there, and many times their wives first class because they wouldn't fit in a regular seat, they had lots of issues. And because I was the guy in the office, when bills needed to be paid, I was the one answering the phone, trying to figure out where this money was going to come from. And it went on, and then, because there were no cell phones, when the boss would call in, and we'd have conversations. I know just who to call, and you know, we'll have a check in a few days, and the check didn't come. So finally, one morning, I just couldn't go back into work. I was in the closet in the bedroom, in the dark. I felt pretty hopeless. I just didn't see a way out. And Kathy called the pastor of the church where we were. I don't know what she told him, but he came over pretty quick. And we went for walks, and we prayed, and he said, you know, the Holy Spirit, you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. You need to lay it down. You need to live it to God. There's only so much that you can do. Do the best you can. Give the best advice. And leave the results to me. And that sounds simple, but when you're the phone, you go back into work and the phone's ringing again and again and again. It was rough. But I knew I could trust that God would bring us through. I'd like to say it was a big win, but it was not. We limped back to Sisseton the day that school was out that year. We had the van loaded and picked the kids up at school, and we hightailed it back to South Dakota. We did what we could. We put it in God's hands, and God redirected us to do something else. One other story, and of course, when you're my age, there's lots of them, and we don't have a lot of time. It's already noon. We went up to Watford City. We were sent up there to start a mission for the United Methodist. There was no Methodist church there. We'd gone up and visited, and there were all these people moving there, just coming in their cars from Texas and Georgia and Alabama, all over. They didn't know what a winter coat was. Her gloves, they thought if they just showed up, you know, that's all I had to do is get there. It was the pot at the end of the rainbow. There weren't as many jobs, as they said, and finding a place to live was incredibly hard. When we went up there in 2013, when we finally found a place to live, there were three apartments left in this new apartment complex, and it was $2,700 a month for two bedrooms. $2,700 for two bedrooms. Now, those people showing up there with no money had no chance in the world of that. And there were people living in campers that were just horrendous. And then winter comes, and, you know, they'd freeze up and they'd have heaters. So we'd do blankets, and, you know, we had little heaters that they could plug in, and told them where they could get stuff to skirt to try and keep the wind and stuff out. So Kathy and I are working as hard as we can with volunteers and whoever we could get. And then we set up a board to have our own local board to help direct what was going on. And we got called into a meeting and said, you know, what you're doing there is marvelous. We hope it can continue. But as of the end of June, the money will run out. And so we went from trying to run a thrift store and do feeding programs and Christmas events for kids to being fundraisers. So it was 7 days a week and very hard. But we'd lived a lot of life by then. We went up there at 60 or thereabouts, and God had brought us through some stuff. And we knew that God's heart was for those that were down and out and those that were struggling, that somebody'd come alongside and say, here, you know, you can make it. And I can't tell you how many people, especially Kathy, would pull aside and just pray with to give them encouragement. And we still have, to this day, people on Facebook that check in with us and say, hey, guess what? And thanks for what you did. And the ministries, when we left, We had set up and hired a new director. They've had their 10-year anniversary, which was last year. And they're doing absolutely marvelous. They're getting grants for other things. Somebody gave them a month or two ago a $100,000 check to start this ministry center that we'd talked about way back when, that we had neither the time nor the money. We were trying to survive. But God's hand was on it and still is. But see, we had hope. Even as hard as we worked then, we had the hope and we knew that we were meeting a need. And that we knew that our only hope for this to carry on and to be successful was because God's hand was on it. And we'd seen him over the years of our life pulling us through a lot of different situations. All right, this one, when I was looking, I was trying to figure out, I thought I had these verses from Thessalonians in there, and then it turned out, well, I had the words for Thessalonians, but I had the scripture reference for the Psalms. And between Marnie and I running back and forth, her from the school to here, and me on transit runs in here, and running in, when are you going to be there? All right, let's go over this and go over that. I mean, that we only have that much of a mess up is a miracle. So this is 2 Thessalonians 3:15 and 16, and I think it's on your sheet. I'm not sure. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us what kind of encouragement? Eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. All right, next. We're coming down to the end game. We're sailing along here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. I saw a video that a pastor friend had told me about, where some secular media were interviewing Desmond Tutu and said, you know, telling him that, say, you know, people say that you're an eternal optimist. And he sat there and he said, no, that's not the right word. He said, I'm a prisoner of hope. He said, if you just stopped at Good Friday, when everything looked so dark and dismal and Satan was having a party because he was sure that he derailed eternal life for us, then Easter came. Then Easter came. All of a sudden, it was a totally, totally different story. What looked like total failure actually became the best thing that's ever happened to you and me. And he's still living there, and he's still caring, and he's still loving, and he's still looking forward to us. Okay, now let's get to these other verses, Trent. Right there? All right. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. They have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so, your faith and your hope is in God. Two more slides and a song. This is the closing argument on the story of hope. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. And here it is. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure, it enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. And each and every day, in each and every situation that we go through, he's there. He's caring. He's promised. He's put his word and his name on the line. I will do what I said I would do. He's the victory. He's the victory. We could say a million things, but the bottom line is in the word he promises, and he closed the deal. He has the victory. Amen. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. I have two questions. Kirk has already asked for those that maybe haven't put the Lord on the throne of their life to do that this morning. It's so easy just to come here and to listen and to be involved and feel like part of a family. It just feels good. But have you really said, Jesus, for that eternal victory, I need to ask you into my life. I need to lay my life down. I need to ask you to forgive me. And I want you to be Lord of my life, that it's not just a feeling, it's a knowing in our knower. It's that great eternal hope that he promised, that he's at the right hand of the Father, sitting and waiting for us. And I know how hard it is sometimes to say, well, I should do something, but I'll just wait. No, that's the enemy speaking. The word says today is the day of salvation. And then if you're struggling with hope and you didn't come up for prayer, but you felt like you should, just because we're who we are, we're going to do it again. I'd like everybody to stand. I'd like the prayer teams to come up. If you haven't invited the Lord into your heart, this is not a place where you need to be embarrassed or fearful, because we're family. Our greatest desire in the world is that you know Jesus like we've accepted him and know him. And if you're still struggling with something, whether it's depression or lack of hope, that you still somehow don't think God can do it, come up and get prayed for. Let's agree and pray one more time, because God is faithful. So we're going to pray and dismiss, but if that's you, please come and let us pray with you at the end, okay? Lord, your word is powerful. And it's true. And you're the God of all hope, and you promised on the very name of yourself that it's true. That you love us unconditionally, eternally. Nothing we've done is so bad that you can't or won't forgive, because your love is unconditional. And you've made a way through your son Jesus. You've already paid the price. Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again because we were on his mind and he wanted us to have eternal life. Lord, may everyone in this place know you in a personal way today. And if they don't, may that choice happen yet today to accept you as our Lord and Savior. And those that are still struggling with situations say, well, that's good for you. I'm glad God helped you, but I don't think he can help me. Yes, he can. And yes, we'll believe, and yes, we'll pray with you. So God, bless his people. May your Holy Spirit bring those verses alive and those on those green sheets as they go with them, even when they read them, Lord, may that spark, that life of the Holy Spirit, bring them to life in our hearts and minds when we need them. And you're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. And everyone said, amen.